entertain you on a giant screen with a few colorful motion pictures you've been hearing about and reading
about. It's showtime, folks. Enjoy the show.
We're delighted to have you with us.
The Drive-In Theater.
You'll find something to please you to add to your evening's enjoyment.
It's pleased to bring you our Fifi feature presentation.
What up, everybody? What's going on? It is Monday night. It is 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. It is March 11th, 2023, for 2024. That's right. I don't know what year it is, but you're tuned into the Drive-In Speaker Box, a show about movies. That's what we do. We've been doing it for a really long time. We are well into our 1,000th episode. I didn't make a whole big fanfare about it, but our 1,000th episode was like a couple of weeks ago. So we're into the thousands, but I'm your host, Bo, the boom operator.
I'm the grip.
And welcome to the show. We weren't here last week, and that is kind of by request. Last week, we both went and saw Dune, but we also had a lot of stuff coming up, and we couldn't be up here on Monday. So instead of just rescheduling it during an off week or an off day, we decided we'd just come back on Monday, like regularly scheduled. And we're going to talk about Dune, because we saw it. We saw it, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about we'll talk a little bit about the Academy Awards, because the Oscars happened, and you know, everybody always wants us to talk about that, even though we're not huge Oscar fans. But we'll also talk about why, because we talk about it every year, of why we're not Oscar fans. And I guess for those of you that are maybe tuning in for the first time and didn't watch us last year or hear our opinions about it last year, you will get them this year. So
yeah.
So Vince over on Twitch coming in with the AMC quote, "Heartbreak feels good in a show like
man.
This.
Can we hey, thanks Vince.
32 month sub streak from
damn.
Vince on Twitch. Thanks,
yeah.
man.
Can we open up the show then by talking about AMC did it? They finally changed.
What?
The opening of their movies.
Wait, when? I just saw Dune. I didn't see Dune at AMC. I saw it at the Malco. When?
I went and saw Dune, that's what I saw.
How is this not international, global, show-stopping news?
Well, they talked about it in the news. I think that was one of the things maybe we got to, that everyone missed out on us telling them last week, is that AMC, I think we talked about it the week before, they have like three new things that they're putting at the beginning of movies.
Is it all Nicole Kidman?
It's still Nicole Kidman, okay. But
it better be.
It's different now, but it's all the same outfit, the same theater. It's like they were sitting on these. These have been in the can for several years, and they were just like, now that we've tortured our audiences,
now that
enough,
it's become a thing,
yeah, let's give them a new one. Because we were sitting in the theater, and she like, there's a close up of her at the camera, and she says something different, and it's real short.
And here, they are.
Yeah, something like yeah. that. And I was like, oh, it's different. They got rid of it. So I was prepared for the annoyance that is seeing that mm-hmm. one at every single movie.
Dazzling images on a huge silver screen.
Yeah, yeah. And it was different. And I was like, hey, this was a big relief on my person.
So we just have to watch this one for three more years.
Yeah. Well, there's supposed to be three different ones. So hopefully it'll get changed up.
It's like watching Clue in the theater. You never know which Nicole Kidman intro you're going to
yeah,
get.
Yeah, watch my luck be that I get the same one every time. You know, like mm-hmm. they just put on all the movies that fit my interest.
Well, that's that's good. That's good news. I'm excited about going to AMC mm-hmm. now. I want to go
see
check it
new
out.
Nicole just, Kidman. Just, collect them all. I got to yeah. go to the theater enough to
get
see.
Get a punch card
yeah.
on my Stubbs app. It's like, oh, have you seen it? You know, it's like a Pokemon Go that I got to catch or something. Well, that's cool. What else is in the news? Did you?
Well, talking Japanese culture that's changed the face of the world, we can get our sad news out of the
way.
It was announced this weekend that on the 1st of March,
bring him out,
the world lost Akira Toriyama.
Yep. If you don't know, then
yeah, Akira Toriyama. No.
this is the one time.
This is the time where it's
the
like
time
you shouldn't
where you should,
do it. This
you
is
should
sad
acknowledge
news. The creator of Dragon Ball, the man that is probably the reason that manga and anime are across the world the way that they are. passed away earlier this month, but they just released that news. There have been tributes pouring in from all over the world. People have been meeting in like city squares and giving their energy to Toriyama Sensei. And it's sad. He was still in the middle of doing Dragon Ball Super with Toyotaro. He had just finished the first run of Dragon Ball, what Daima or whatever, where it's like all these kid versions of Dragon Ball stuff. But everyone's asking the question, yeah, how's the story going to continue? Because originally Dragon Ball Super was supposed to all take place between the final two chapters of the original Dragon Ball manga, from the time that they defeat Buu until they all go to the world tournament so that Goku can meet Ub, and then they fly off for the training of the reincarnated Boo.
I see you're wearing your Dragon Ball shirt.
I did. In fact, I was wearing this shirt when I heard the news. Aww. The other day. I happened to be there. My brother and I had just looked at cool Dragon Ball figures. There's like a Master Roshi blowing away Fire Mountain. I was like, I gotta have that. And then, you know, I caught the news.
So, Velvet
because
Santa,
I am a
on,
big Dragon Ball fan.
Velvet Santa on Twitch, he asks a very good question. So, for those of you that are watching or listening at home, and says, "Hey, I've never really gotten into Dragon Ball." He says, "I need to watch an episode at some point. What's a good jumping in point?" Because honestly, the beginning is not a great jumping in point.
Beginning of what? Dragon Ball or Dragon
Just
Ball Z?
Dragon Ball. Like, because it's dated. It's no, old. Like, no. if you're not prepared for it, then it's kind of like, to me, like, I think watching, if you know, I'll use an example of an anime I'm more familiar with. I've watched Dragon Ball Z. I haven't watched all the other Dragon Ball, but I'm gonna say, you know, Full Metal Alchemist. Like, I think a starting point for someone who's not super into anime, that doesn't watch a lot of this stuff, especially particularly shonen stuff, like watching Brotherhood is great, and then you become like a fan of it, and you're like, oh yeah, this is good. And then you go back and watch the OG version, and you're a little more accustomed to giving some leeway to some older animation styles, to some shonen bullshit that maybe you don't know about or aren't culturally indoctrinated into.
See, I'm the exact opposite, because with things like One Piece or Dragon Ball, or any of the big ones like that, watching their original, how it started, is the only way to do it. And this has been something since like
it's been around
Vampire Hunter D. There's two movies. There's Vampire Hunter D, and then there's Bloodlust. Bloodlust, yeah, was made 20 years afterward, updated computer animation, very smooth. You know, all the up close hard lines, everything was done with the help of computers. Mm-hmm. Whereas the original was all hand drawn. It was done with like the layovers, yep, and everything
flipping back and forth.
So yeah, I mean it looks ancient, but everyone I knew that watched Bloodlust first
couldn't like
the original, mm-hmm, because they couldn't appreciate it, because like, oh, it's too slow and I don't like the animation and things like that. But so Dragon Ball is the same way, starting with Dragon Ball, which actually tells like the Journey to the West story, in that it's inspired by things like that, is better to start there than to jump into Dragon Ball Z, because Z is it changes from being about tournaments, world tournaments. That's why I wanted to have this one. We have the Turtle School versus the Crane School. The world tournaments that were so important in Dragon Ball, and it moves to now there's aliens and it's all about defending the entire Earth, which Dragon Ball built up to with King Piccolo and all that stuff. So it started out as like Goku just being a kid in the woods and his journey to being the strongest, and you can see where Goku becomes him, who he is as a defender of Universe 7 or whatever, you know. So I would say start with the comedy and the innocence of Dragon Ball, and see how it develops into the universe stakes of Z. But so the point of all this being that Akira Toriyama was the man that made this kind of thing. All other anime takes influence from this.
Yep.
And all of the tributes have been pouring in from all of the other mangaka that looked up to him.
Extremely influential.
The creators of One Piece, Naruto, Bleach, One Punch Man, like, mm-hmm, anything that, even if you're not an anime fan or manga fan or anything like that, everyone knew and respected Akira Toriyama because he was the influence on all
everybody.
Of the, everyone, any if you do, if there's any kind of anime that you like, Akira Toriyama was the guy that they liked.
Yep. That, I think that's a really accurate statement.
Yeah. So it's that's a big loss for everyone, especially considering the stories there were left unfinished, and we don't know how that's going to turn out. So like anything else, you know, where things are left undone, but change the world, like J.R.R. Tolkien stuff, you know, we're going to try and have to piece things together, or Louis L'Amour or whatever, and we don't know what's there yet. So,
well, pouring one out.
Bummer.
Akita, sad days. But happy news. We need to talk about some happy news, right? Something that's not so sad. I mean, do you have anything?
Yeah, totally.
Because everything that I so much was Oscar stuff that in my feed.
That was the hard part, is that the death of Toriyama and then Oscars was just nothing. All the news I found. One thing, Chinese cinema is set to be revamped here. Alibaba is going to put $640 million dollars into Hong Kong cinema to try and revitalize Hong Kong cinema. And some of that is going to be to aid in the schooling of directors and stuff like that.
Alibaba directors. Pictures.
Yeah.
I just ordered some stuff off Alibaba recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting, getting Hong Kong movies the way that they used to be, because Shaw Brothers Films was one of those listed
Shaw
that it
Brothers.
Was.
Shaw Brothers. Oh, yeah.
Alibaba was linked with. So getting classically styled martial arts movies, but newer, you know, trying to get things like, we haven't had a big Donnie Yen like style Hong Kong movie in quite
long
a while.
Long time.
Yeah, so stuff like that, it'd be great to see if those start coming back around. John Wick, the ballerina, postponed.
Oh, that's right. I did see that as well.
Pushed back to 2025. And right now they're doing reshoots.
Not mad about it.
They've cast new people for reshoots. So who knows what about this story is going to be changed and twisted in the editing, and we're going to get now a completely different movie, I'm sure, than what they had planned. But it's in the midst of reshoots and now expected to be next year. Well, remember that movie where Kevin Spacey was in it, and then they reshot that with Christopher Plummer in like 12 days.
Oh, that was so weird.
They're like 12 days, and
I saw it in
the
theater. It was actually pretty amazing. But
they didn't change its release date or anything.
No, they were just like,
crap,
nope.
Christopher Plummer, get in here, and then they did it in like less than 2 weeks, and then they kept their post and everything.
Pretty
and then
impressive.
Release date.
Pretty. It didn't win an Academy Award, but it should have.
All the money in the world. Yeah.
All the money in the world. That was an interesting movie. Mark Landry over on YouTube just wanted to throw in some happy news. Rad, the 1986 BMX film.
I posted about that in our Discord.
Is back in theaters next week.
It's like a one day only.
Fortunately, not here in Fayetteville. So, but if Rad is playing in a theater near you, you can get your BMX on.
Or you can be like Movie Albert says over here, a second-run theater that's been closed for a while is reopening by him to show Bollywood films.
Well.
Very cool.
There you go. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is cool. You know, we had some, we had three different Indian films showing this weekend, and not one of them was anything interesting enough to go sit in a theater for 2.5 hours to watch. And that was very disappointing. I was like, oh, dude, there's Indian movies because there's nothing in the theater.
Dude, this was a sad weekend for theaters. I mean, a lot of it was Dune, of course. Yeah. There was the horror movie that came out with the Imaginary. It was called Imaginary with the little teddy bear and the ghost attached to it. But for the most part, it was pretty light weekend.
Yeah.
Other light news. I don't know if you saw this. I wanted to mention it. That you remember the movie Sky High?
Yeah, dude, I love Sky High.
Yeah, because it was a great movie. The director of Sky High, Mike Mitchell, wants to make a sequel, and he wants Marvel's help. And
no!
Yeah.
No! I guess it was a Disney movie, but no!
He's already got some pre-scriptment prepared, a couple of working titles.
Dude,
maybe Kurt Russell come back. Yeah. Maybe what's the guy from Kids in the Hall? Kevin.
The sidekick.
Yeah. That would be Kevin McDonald, I think.
Bruce Campbell, because he was the coach.
Yeah, man. They're all still around. We could do it.
Yeah, they could do Strong. What's his name? His name's like...
Mark Strong?
No, not Mark Strong.
I was like, is he?
No.
He'd have to be the bad guy.
The character.
Let's just get Mark Strong, because he's awesome.
The main character, his name was something Strong, because, yeah, he was the son of Kurt Russell and all that, and he had to discover his powers. But it has... crap, I can't remember anyone's name right now. It has the red-haired girl that was in Flash for so long. She's a good actress. I like her in that. There was the chick, the bad guy, the lady that Ewan McGregor and her cheated on their spouses together with on
that
thing.
I don't catch up with all that goss.
Yeah, whatever. Dude, Sky High is so cool because it's just a fun superhero, goofy movie. I love it, dude. I love Sky High. I've watched that movie probably 200 times. Will Stronghold. There it is.
There we go.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I've been wanting a Sky High sequel forever, but at the same time, don't ruin it. It's kind of perfect. Like, why touch it, you know?
Just let it be.
Yeah.
Let it be. There was a MoviePass documentary that I mentioned in the pre-show that I kind of want to see. It was about the downfall of MoviePass. I actually haven't... where's my... upper cam there. You can't see. It's like right there on
barely
the bottom
at the
of the
bottom,
screen.
Yeah.
Dang it. It's right here is my old movie pass, and right in here in my wallet is my current movie pass. So yeah, I'm a movie pass early adopter and current card holder, but I really want to see this documentary if it's about the fall of movie pass. I mean, it's still going.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead. That's who I couldn't think of. She was the bad guy in Sky High. Spoiler. That's cool. You know what? They also officially announced that Amazon Prime said that The Accountant 2 is going to happen. And it has
The Accountant? Like the
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck Accountant.
Yeah,
okay.
And they said that Ben Affleck, John Bernthal, and J.K. Simmons and one other person are all coming back from the first movie.
So there's another movie called The Accountant, and it's kind of where Walton Goggins got discovered.
Really?
And Ray McKinnon, if you guys are familiar, Ray McKinnon's actually an Arkansan. He lived in Little Rock for a long time. I don't know where he is now, but it's a short film from 2001. I highly recommend you check out The Accountant. It's only about 40 minutes long. Really, really good. Walton Goggins is fantastic. Ray McKinnon, if you've never watched Ray McKinnon movies, it's really, really cool. But anyway, anytime I hear someone say The Accountant, I think about the Ray McKinnon Accountant.
I mean, is it like a super cool like action murder movie like Ben Affleck's The Accountant?
I mean, it's not an action movie accountant, but it's a mysterious accountant. It's just good. I mean, Ray McKinnon does a lot of really interesting Southern Gothic tales and just Southern dark comedy. And I mean, Ray McKinnon, like, he's a weird guy. I don't even know what he's been up to lately, if anything. But if you're not familiar with him, cool dude. But anyway, Accountant 2.
Yeah, Accountant 2 for the Ben Affleck one. The like, he's an assassin by night, accountant by day. Movie. That movie was so cool. And it's like it's one of those movies you're like, I don't know. And then you watch it and you're like, okay, this is cool. So 8 years later, I guess they said part of it really is they've wanted to maintain the cast. And this has been like the first time really that they've been able to lock down the original cast, not all on other projects and stuff already. So that was good news. Something else that was cool to see is that the rap announced that the director of live action, in quotes, Bambi, has left the project.
Oh, God. Can someone just hit it with a car on the highway?
And that was right after the president of Disney Motion Pictures studios left Disney, Sean Bailey. He's the dude that kind of ushered in all of the, you know, in quote, live action, you know, the CGI movie remakes.
People only go to the theaters to see them because they're just curious. They're just like, what, how? I want to see Will Smith as a genie. No one said that, but they're like, I want to see how they made Will Smith the genie.
Yeah. So the dude that kind of brought all those in and made that streak of those, Lion King, Aladdin, Mulan, whatever else, you know, he left Disney, and now the director has stepped away from Bambi and like, well, Bambi may not happen. Good. Don't do it. We don't need that. No one needs that. No one needs that, you know.
No one needs it. A little bit of local news here in Northwest Arkansas. There's some feature films that have been getting shot in the area. There's some casting, open casting calls right now. I have to put the link somewhere in the chat in the channel. But if you are here in Northwest Arkansas, they're casting for extras on Wednesday in Rogers for this movie. It's got some folks, some big names attached, and yeah, you can look that up if you guys are interested and live in the NWA shooting area. You can be some goons in a bar. So always fun to be that.
Hmm.
You got any other bits before we move into what's coming out in theaters?
Well, Vince is saying here, if you use Prime and the ad blocker on your computer, the Prime ads don't work, so you don't have to pay the extra for that. And he said they're really light and think they only happen once every 15 minutes. I don't know. As soon as Prime updated, it was like $3 more for no commercials. I'm just one of those people.
Well,
that
I finished Wheel of Time on Prime recently, the season 2, which I'm not going to talk about it because it's old news. But I saw a couple of ads, like right before, you know, an episode. It was like a 16-second ad. It did kind of piss me off, but I ignored it. So, I mean, I'm getting pretty good ignoring ads in my life.
Yeah, I'm just one of those. I guess I'll be sitting there watching something, and if it pauses to go to a commercial, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm willing to probably give $3 at one point during the month to be like, get rid of these commercials. So if it's $3 a month,
I've not been interrupted in the middle of a movie or an episode. So
there you go.
It's just right at the beginning. It shows, because if something just pops up in the middle of something, I'm going to be pissed. That's why I never did Hulu. So yeah.
One time after a 15-minute mark and that's it. I mean, that's not so bad. And there's times where I'm definitely just not willing to pay for whatever. But at the same time, if I use it, it'd get old, and $3 is enough to...
And that's where they get you.
Yeah. And then it'll just progress. It's like, you know, well, it's only another 50 cents. Well, it's only another 50 cents. And then at some point it's $50.
The plot of Office Space. Yeah, like exactly. That's, they all watched Office Space and they're like, well, what if we just get them for a fraction of a cent and create a worm? And yeah, like, it's just called microtransactions. And they figured out how to do the plot of Office Space just on all of us.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. The only other thing I really had is that Dune 2, despite the fact that I've seen people talk about how a lot of people just don't like it, or
a lot of people are fucking wrong,
that it differed too much from the books and they hated that, or
are we just going to jump into this?
No. Like, no. But
shooting me fired up.
It's made more dollars in a week than what Part 1 made in the U.S. its entire run. So there's that.
I mean, yeah, it's doing good.
But I think Part 1 got enough attention on it that people are like, I'll go watch Part 2. Especially, they did do it kind of smart where you can watch Dune on Hulu or Netflix and I think one other thing. All of it. Yeah, Dune's there. You can watch the Part 1 lead and go to the theater and watch Part 2.
And there's some cool memes coming out being like, how you doing? You know?
I saw that. Yeah, they have a Joey cut where it's like, how you doing?
And then the
is that cultural appropriation doing, since that's the
Dune 2 buckets at the same time?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
That's an Office Space one where it's, yeah, hey, what would you do if you had $1 million?
Yo.
Dune 2 buckets at the same time.
I should have bought the display one they had at our local theater. I walked in before Dune came out.
Yeah, we should have got
it. And
it
was a joke. And I was like, I don't want to spend $30 on this or whatever. And
it would have been a forever prop back in here.
Well, immediately after, I see an article that was like, Dune buckets selling online for $800. And I was like, duh. I could have spent $30 and got $800 out of it, but
you know, we never would have sold that shit.
I know.
It would have sat up here and been a legacy prop.
Just like if I wanted that D20 so bad. Those things sold out in like
Seconds. Well, that was the one. That the D20 bucket. They were like, oh shit, everything's getting a bucket now. Slimer buckets, Doom
That's
buckets.
That's
true. Bucket buckets.
That was the bucket one. That started. Well, those Slimer buckets apparently are a big disappointment because the picture they put online and what you actually get are not the same.
So they ordered them all off Temu?
Yeah.
God. Man, there was a Creature from the Black Lagoon thing. There was a sculpture that came out a long time ago, and it was like a graveyard buster, and they were selling on eBay for hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and so, of course, somebody was like, let's make a Chinese knockoff, sell it on Temu, but it's like this big and looks really stupid. Yeah, let's see. Al Topich says he's been enjoying his time with his Dune popcorn.
That's what
bucket.
I had just seen. Well, I'm glad you're
Hello,
having
Lydia.
Fun with it, Al.
All right. Well, shout outs to Lydia on YouTube. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for everybody that's tuning in, wherever it is you tune in from. A really good time to drop a shameless self-promotion. Follow us wherever you follow us. Like and subscribe. Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. We do this show live every Monday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. We really like Twitch. Payouts are good. There's a lot of fun emojis and things that you can interact with us. And we start early. We start and do a little pre-show for just our Twitch viewers. So like and subscribe. Or you could just download the audio version of this podcast wherever it is you download podcasts. Okay, well, do we want to have any more news, or we want to jump into what's coming out in theaters this weekend?
That's all the news I got.
So. Okay. So, yeah, let's talk about this weekend. It's Friday, March 15th, 2024. Movies are coming out. It is happening. We've got a couple of big ones coming out and one kind of small one. I'll start with the small one. It's probably going to get a wide release because it's a summer comedy from director Adam Reimeyer, and it's called Snack Shack. It's a rated R. It looks like it's trying to be the next Superbad. You know, it's a summer comedy, takes place in 1991. So that perfect time period where it's like, is it the 80s? Is it the 90s? We're going to blur them because no one really remembers. There's a lot of overlap. We can still do tropes from both eras, and it's perfect. And it looks like kind of a not National Lampoon. It's a little National Lampoon-y. But what's the other, like... Something Balls. God dang it. It was a Corey Feldman. It was...
Something Balls.
Oh, Jesus. Someone's going to... My brain is just not firing on all cylinders right now. Not Broken Lizard. That's a different comedy troupe. But it's that era of comedy, and reminds me a little bit about... Oh, Andrea just said Wet Hot American Summer. It's using the same font. Wet Hot American Summer, those guys, that comes from the Stella crew. David Wayne, David Showalter, and Michael Ian Black. Those guys are fucking geniuses. But their comedy is Meatballs. Thank you, Velvet Santa. But their style of comedy is way more slapstick, and this is more set in reality and just going to be a more situational comedy. But it's taken in place at this place called Nebraska City. Two best friends getting a chance to run a swimming pool snack shack, and then it comes the perfect scenario for transgression, fun, and personal discovery and romance. It just looks like a coming-of-age, raunchy, rated-R summer comedy. So, but with a lot of nostalgia and possibly a lot of up-and-comers. So we'll see what that one holds. Also coming out in theaters this week, people are saying that this is going to be maybe a sleeper box office hit. Mm. It's from director Simon Selin-Jones. It is starring Mark Wahlberg and a dog. It is called Arthur the King. And it's about this adventure racer who adopts a stray dog named Arthur to join him in this epic endurance race, supposedly based on an incredible true story. And always take that with air quotes, because when things are based on incredible true stories, they are generally... The true story was a guy found a dog. And
yeah, based on.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this one might be. I mean, you got Sima Liu. You got Mark Wahlberg. It's about a doggy. My mom texts me a link to the trailer, and she goes, we got to go watch this. When you go to the movies, I want to go see this with you. So, looks like this weekend, when I get the chance, I'm going to go. This is probably one that I'll
a feel good dog movie.
Yeah,
you know, and Mark Wahlberg. You know, if only my life goal is to by age when I hit age 50. I want to look like Mark Wahlberg.
I need to look up the true story and if the dog is okay at the end of it.
How's your mother? How's your dog?
Yeah.
Hey.
Because the thing about dog movies is they always end up hurting and killing the dog.
For drama.
And I don't do that, man. No. Like, I'll never watch Old Yeller again in my life. You could not pay me
to watch
Old Yeller.
Go on, get. You're free now, boy. Jake. I've been meaning to tell you, you're free now.
Yeah, go on, get.
Go on, get. So Arthur the King coming out in theaters next week, or this Friday. And then also kind of the, I don't even know if you'd call this a big budget, but it's fantasy, it's high fantasy. It's from director Kobe Leiby. It is, you've probably seen the trailers for it, starring Justice Smith, who's been in everything right now. It's got Anthony Coons and David Alan Greer looking pretty funny in this one. It's the American Society of Magical Negroes coming out in theaters. It's about a young man named Aaron, played, of course, by the lead Justice Smith. He's recruited into a secret society of magical black people who dedicate their lives to a cause of utmost importance, making white people comfortable. And then everything falls apart when he falls in love with this girl who he's supposed to magically make this white guy fall in love with, and threatens the balance of the magical Negro community. And it looks like a very interesting comedy. I like Justice Smith. I remember when I first saw him in The Get Down.
Do you, though? Because he screams a lot.
In The Get Down. I liked him in The Get Down. That doesn't mean I liked him in everything that I've seen him in.
Like Jurassic Park.
Yes, Detective Pikachu. I liked him in Dungeons & Dragons.
He screamed a lot, though.
But I liked him in that role. It fit in that role. I don't know why he has, you know, changed so much from his time in The Get Down, but if we could just get more Get Down Justice Smith, then maybe I'll be about it. We'll see. He's got a good look. Right, I understand why he's getting cast a lot, but just let's back off the screaming, just a little bit.
Just real quick in the comments, Vince mentioned that there is a website, doesthedogdie.com.
We've talked about that.
Yeah, he's definitely talked about it, so that's a good thing to know. I will check that before I go watch this movie, and then the support that we're getting here. Yeah, no one else wants to watch a movie where a dog dies either. Movie Albert, Timbo Sippy. Yeah, none of us want to watch it. Tim said that Owen Wilson and Jennifer Aniston movie can go to hell. Yeah.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Yeah. I remember when, Marley and Me came out and everyone was like, forget this.
Sit me down in front of Mac and Me instead. And then you got a deal. Marley and Me, no thanks.
Yeah, Velvet Santa. When the dog got killed in Road Warrior, dog from Mad Max, that he fought people to rescue and stuff, and then old dude just crossbows the dog. It makes me livid every time, man. Like there's when it's on TV or whatever, I'll get up and I'll walk away and I'll come back after that's all done. You know.
I was gonna say this. But can we say killed anymore? I feel like, I mean, we can say it.
Because of TikTok?
I don't know. It's like, I saw on somebody's Facebook status, they used the word unalived.
Yeah, that's a TikTok thing.
And I'm like, the hell is this? Like, can we not, like, the Academy Award nominated film, The Unaliver of the Flower Moon? Like, is this, I mean, is that, like.
To Unalive a Mockingbird?
Yeah, I don't understand where we're going with this one, but anyway. Yeah.
Well. The future is now, old man.
The future somewhere. But those are the movies that are coming out in theaters near you this Friday. You can check them out. Okay. Is it time? Is it Dune time? Are we talking Dune?
Yeah, I guess so.
Is it time?
Yeah, let's do it, bro.
Okay. Well, Dune. We saw Dune. Sequel to the 2021 Dune Part 1. It's Part 2. Al Topich jumping in early on the comments saying Dune 2 had the problem that Dune 1 had, pacing. Don't spend enough time with the minor characters. Should have been a 3-part film.
Okay. Yes, very good point.
I just want to jump in.
Yeah, you do your thing.
Despite the pacing errors, my one sentence review of this movie is for a movie that was 2 hours and 47 minutes long, or 35 minutes long. No, this one's 47 minutes long. I could have easily sat through another hour.
Yes, I wanted more. When it ended, I was like, wait, no. Like, we're just getting going. I don't agree that Dune Part 1 had bad pacing, because I liked Dune Part 1 a lot. And its pacing was part of the world. Was that, you know, everything was, you're in the desert, everything is, it's atmosphere. It created atmosphere, and that's what Part 1 was creating Arrakis, mm-hmm. right? I loved Part 1. Part 2 does have pacing problems, and there I was talking with someone about it over Messenger the other day, because he invited me to go watch it in IMAX, and I was like, man, I just watched it the other day. I don't know that I want to watch it a second time that soon. He's like, well, I got IMAX tickets, so that's why I was asking. I'm like, even in IMAX, I don't want to go watch it again, because this one, the first one, I could probably watch, you know, once a week for quite a while and not get tired of it.
Well, and I think that that's an interesting thing about pacing, is like, sure, some of these things were not paced properly in just general movie making pacing, but the movie was engaging in a way that, like, we both, and everybody, just like Andrew had just said in the comments too on Twitch, she said she could have sat through another hour as well. It's like, pacing aside, it still got my attention, so let's go. Could it have been a third film on the way? There should be, like, there's more story to tell.
This one ends very open to a third film, and that was one of the things, is this one's an action movie, and the first one was an atmospheric movie, right? So the tonal shift from Part 1 to Part 2 is it's pretty big. It's 100%. A hard shift, and with the split in these two movies where it is, they don't feel as related as you would expect them to.
Yeah,
I think if there was a supercut of these two movies together, it would feel a lot better. But with the cut and then the shift and the montage in this, the slight montage creating such a passage of time. The villains don't seem like they have enough screen time to justify
their intensity on screen.
Yeah, their defeats don't mean anything really, because you don't get to know them or what makes them so evil. You know, of course, Baron Harkonnen in the first movie, you're like, oh, this guy, he lived through that, and he's such a bad guy, and I want him dead. And then in this movie,
don't get much of him.
He goes, fight in the pit. and that's it. That's all you get from him.
Dip me in the juice again.
Yeah. And he's like, Batista, I've never liked you. And then he goes in the juice. And you're like, okay, well, he's just the juice dude. And then, you know, Elvis is there, eyebrowless Elvis, and he's just like...
Movie Albert on Twitch just asked, how is Austin Butler? We're going to see him in so many movies in the future. his character didn't really hit it for me.
No,
but his performance was brilliant.
Yeah, but there wasn't...
He's great.
He wasn't there enough for him to matter.
His character...
Wasn't Sting, okay? No. Sting played the same character as him in the 80s Dune, and Sting was like, yeah, he was this dude.
Ruthless.
But, yeah, but in this one, you're like, okay, like, he's a mean guy. And a Bene Gesserit wrote his ding-dong or whatever, and that's all you get to know about him. They're like, he's mean, and a Bene Gesserit wrote his ding-dong.
Because it's Sting.
And so he's going to burn some birds. And he's like, burn the birds. And then you're like, okay. And then they're like, next time you see him, he's just a prisoner guy. And you're like, well, he's nothing. You know? And same thing with Batista. Batista was like, his character was in the first movie. And in this movie, Josh Brolin, you know, Gurney, mm-hmm. he's like, man, I hate that guy. He gave me this scar. And you're like, when? Yeah. Last we saw you, you
Can
were
we
running
see
into
some of that?
There was an explosion and stuff. You had no direct interaction with this dude at all. And he's like, I got the scar and I hate that guy in particular. And then he somehow finds him in the midst of the action for their showdown or whatever. And none of it really had impact or weight the way I would want it to, because of how the movie was paced.
The tie-in from the first and second one. Yeah.
I feel like everything this movie tried to do outside of the politics and religion, and which is really the whole Frank Herbert thing anyhow. So this movie's probably the most Dune of the Dune movies. But, you know, outside of that, the stories of, you know, Paul and the Arrakis girl. What's her name?
The
main girl.
The main girl, yeah.
Their relationship.
Chani.
Yeah, Chani. Their relationship is like they try to make it something, but it doesn't really feel like it's there because as soon as they establish their relationship, Paul has his visions and he's like, no, I got to do things this way. You know, the...
Although the end, the moment at the end, I thought was a good one where he like kind of apologizes to her. She doesn't understand why. And then immediately it all comes...
Like that, politics and religion.
Yeah.
But so her emotion is there, but you don't feel it.
Right.
You can see her emotion, but you don't feel the weight behind it. And that's like kind of...
But I feel like that's where the third one needs to come and pick that up and pick that weight up. But,
well, and like the Emperor was like nothing. You got to see Emperor for like maybe 30 seconds.
I felt like Christopher Walken was a little bit wasted.
Absolutely wasted. That's what I'm saying.
Christopher freaking Walken.
Austin Butler, Dave Bautista, Christopher Walken, all wasted. There was way too much Florence Pugh doing nothing. There was, you know, I don't know. I liked the movie. But it's going to sound like I didn't because it's very easy to pick apart.
Oh, I loved the movie. I thought it was...
I'm not going to go that far.
I thought it was... Well, the reason I loved the movie is because it felt like a cinematic experience. I enjoyed my time in the theater. I got lost in the sauce. I was on Arrakis. I'm sitting here having a great time. I could have sat there even longer. There's been so many movies that I've watched in my days in the theater where I'm like, can this be over? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want this one to be over. So for that, it's like, oh man, it's doing its thing right.
I mean, compared to a movie like Argyle, where you see everything coming, it's all telegraphed and you're just like, cool.
Can we hurry up with
this? This movie can end anytime. Yeah, this one, as soon as it does end, you're like, whoa, wait a second. I'm invested now.
I want more. But and at the end of 3 hours, it's really difficult to go, I want more.
But it takes you the whole movie to get invested in this movie. It does. Kind of the whole problem of it, you know?
And I think that that's why it's turning some people away, is because this is not a beginner's movie, you know? This movie kind of rides that weird little line between being a popcorn blockbuster movie, but also being kind of highbrow storytelling. And when those two things cross over, both of these people get a little uncomfortable because the highbrow storytellers are like, I could have done with a lot less like jokes and explosions. And then the other people are like, I could have done a lot less with whatever religious politic babble that I sat through 30 minutes of. And it's hard to find that balance. And you know, I for the challenge of this book, like, the challenge of doing this cinematically is already top notch.
Sure.
I thought it did as good a job as it could have.
Yeah, I think there could have been a better adjustment. You know, and again, the pacing, the way that things are timed, you know, some things are too short, some things take too long. They could have edited it a little better to make it feel more connected to the first movie.
Yeah.
They could have transitioned into the politic portion of it a little easier, because part one kind of set it up for that. But yeah, I mean, all the Harkonnens felt like they were nothing. It's like, why were they there? There was not
enough Harkonnen sort of ominence, which you get from the first one. You get plenty of that. And
yeah,
I think that
absolutely.
They were hoping it would carry over, but I think they needed to remind us a little bit more of how freaking awful the Harkonnens
are. Well, and there's a connection to the Harkonnen and the Atreides that they reveal in this movie that's not in the first Dune book, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
It comes in like the second or third book.
And they changed an important death in the movie that was from the book. Paul kills someone that, in the book, his sister, who is not even born yet in this movie, kills in the book.
Oh, really?
Sister kills Baron in the book.
Oh no, that's in Children of Dune. That's a whole different thing.
That's way
So right. in that she kills him by killing herself because Baron's consciousness possesses her.
But yeah, but
Baron's already dead.
But he wasn't killed by Paul, I didn't think. I mean, I haven't read these books since high school.
I don't know if Paul's the one that kills the Baron, but the Baron's dead and his consciousness that's still alive possesses his sister. His daughter. His daughter. Because his sister's the evil. Not
the evil one.
She's the queen.
Yeah, the evil fetus, right?
Dune gets weird.
It gets so weird.
They can only really make these big budget films, the first ones, because if they did stuff besides like the miniseries and stuff, like Children of Dune with all McAvoy.
James McAvoy, yeah.
If they were to do, these as big budgets, you would walk out of the movie theater. You'd be like, what the hell am I watching?
What am I watching? Yeah, it's because it's just too much. That's one of the things with some of these really crazy, amazing science fiction novels. Adapting them is so hard because there's just so much going on. And you can't. It's kind of one of the problems, like making the Star Trek movies that he hates. Right,
the new ones.
Is because it's like
the lens flare film.
You need that to sell tickets and put butts in seats and to make people engaged and just photon torpedoes all day, and then it takes away everything that makes Trek so cool, which is this long form, all these exploration of these different races and these different ideas and these different things that you see, and you can't put that into 2 hours. You can't put it into 3 hours. You want Star Wars, you want Millennium Falcons and lightsabers, then you're not going to get like weird religious sex and fetuses that turn into evil queens and possessions of like Harkonnen souls and politics from the noble houses, and you know, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, overall, yeah, visually it's a lot of fun, but it's not as engaging, or it doesn't make you think about things the way that
not make me think about things.
And that's the hard part, is because this is supposed to be a reflection and make you think about religion and politics and what evil they are and how they affect the world. But
you
really,
would have to be an idiot to walk out of this theater and not see the allegory between, like, oh, this is just the Middle East and the spice is oil. You know, I mean, like, that's the easy one to pick out of this, and I think that that's where the popcorn audience is. Hopefully that will make you think a little bit about that, but you probably won't. But all the other stuff that these books can, you know, that what makes it great science fiction, yeah, all that's gone. You know, you can't, it's really hard to do. I mean, those things are called novum in science fiction writing, and really good science fiction has lots of those novum. And, you know, you can't really focus on too many of them in a movie. So, and generally it's those things are man versus blank, right? Man versus man versus nature, man versus some piece of technology, man versus himself, man versus, you know, whatever. And you explore those ideas. But Dune, it's got a lot of those things. So I liked it. I thought it was a great, fun movie experience.
I did not dislike it. I mean, I'd say that I liked it overall. However, it's not. I can't put it in the same category as Part One, because Part One was just such
maybe
a better.
Just need to watch them back to back.
Well, yeah, I did kind of. I rewatched Dune the night before to show my girlfriend. I was like, hey, this is what we're gonna watch. You need to watch the first part.
Okay.
But at the same time. But yeah, it helped me see what a shift from one to two it is, and it doesn't really seem to fit well together. You know,
fair, okay,
yeah. I mean, I think if they re-edit this movie some, I think it can be a lot better.
Like a streaming supercut.
Yeah, like a the Villeneuve cut.
The Villeneuve, you know? Cut. Denis cut.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not bad. It's fun. It's there. Like we said, at the end of it, you're like, more movie, please. Mm-hmm. You know, which is not a bad thing to have. But I think part of it was because you didn't have anything that was truly satisfying or fulfilling in this movie. You're left very unsatisfied at the end of this movie.
Because you wanted more. Well, Night Owl actually asks on Twitch, watch alone or with others?
Alone if you can.
Either or, man. I mean, if I took my entire staff to see this in the theater, and we all had a great time. We were all like, oh, like watching Paul ride the sandworm or watching him go, silence! You're just like, oh, yeah. And you look at your friends and you're like, yeah, that was badass.
Use the voice.
The whole movie, I was like, when are you going to use the voice? And then when he did, it's like, oh, yeah.
I will say that I walked into my theater and it was nothing but kids in their teens and early 20s.
What?
And I think I texted or sent a message into our Discord.
You did.
And I was like, dude, I'm going to lose it in this theater. Everyone actually was very well behaved. Awesome. I was surprised. I only saw a phone out once or twice, but not for long. And the only people that were talking, some guys laughed at a scene a little too loud. And then the people next to me, the guy and his girlfriend, the girl was asking him questions and he was having to tell her what was going on, which I just totally let slide, you know, kind of a thing. And he was trying to be quiet about it at least. So actually they didn't ruin the movie for me. So if you can find a theater that doesn't have people in it, that's what's going to make it better. That's how I watched the first one. It was awesome. But this one, as long as you have a theater of people that aren't interrupting, because it's definitely something you
want
to
focus.
Every scene has something you're going to need to and want to pay attention to.
Oh, and the framing. Oh, it's so beautiful.
Apparently in IMAX, it's not just that you get a bigger picture and bigger sound and all that stuff. There's actually things that you don't get to see in the aspect ratio of the normal theater that are all present. Yeah, so there's a whole like top third of the screen that you get to see visuals on.
I need to see it in IMAX. I just hate those chairs. And they're just sardine cans. It reminds me of the old days.
I do not like our IMAX theater seating.
Movie Albert asks, where do you guys like to sit in the theater? I like the back row. He is also a back row man. I am not.
Back row center, but not so far back that I'm behind or underneath the rear speakers. I need to be in front of the rear speakers so that I get the surround sound of the theater.
And that's my problem, is a guy that used to tune movie theater audio systems. He's like, this is where you sit when we tune these speaker systems, you know. And nowadays, like, who the fuck ever tunes them? Because those guys, those technicians may only come once a year.
Half the theaters I sit in, there's one that's just static the whole time.
But I'm the guy that likes to sit in somewhere in the kind of the center. You know, I find that acoustical spot. And if that means I have to sit next to some people, I have to sit next to some people. But it's I don't like sitting too close because I don't like having to look up. But it's really about getting that complete sound picture, because that's half of what you see is the sound.
Yeah. I like back row center if it can be helped. But yeah, if it's directly underneath the rear speakers, I'll sit next row up so that I get rear sound.
Heck yeah. Timbo Sippy on Twitch says, I like the aisle in case I gotta pee. Hey, fair. That's not a bad.
Dude, I'll pee two or three times before a movie just to make sure that I'm empty, because I don't want to get up and miss anything.
Just and pull all the like fluid out of your body before, just like in Dune. All right, guys, we're almost out of time. I know we didn't talk about the Oscars too much on this episode, but if you are a Twitch viewer, we talked about it a lot during the Twitch pre-show. If you are following us on Twitch or even a subscriber on Twitch, the Twitch episode will still be out there for a week or so, and you can go back and check out some of our Oscars. But if you didn't know, Oppenheimer predictably won all the things, and everything else that you would have imagined as predictable as the Oscars are won the Oscars that you would have thought that they won, because that's what the Oscars do. So, yeah, there you have it. But let's go over the box office roundup before we get done, because it's the last thing we do of the show. Jake's going to give you the top 10 movies in America, what they made. Most of these, we're going to start with domestic numbers. Sometimes we'll tell you worldwide if it's imperative enough. But top 10, work our way down, the weekend of March 8th through 10th, 2024, number 10. Take it away.
All right, first I'm going to give Vince a hot tip, because he asked, how do you will yourself to pee three times before a movie? Once when you're leaving the house, once when you get to the theater, just before, right after you sit down, and if you need to, before the trailers are over and you see
Nicole Kidman. Yeah.
And how do you do that through will? FOMO. I don't want to miss the movie. So it's just like before a road trip, man. You try and make sure you're empty because you don't know when you're going to get to go again, you know? So there you go. Just FOMO in training. Coming in at number 10, in its second week out from Fathom Events, continuing with this season of The Chosen, episodes 7 and 8 of season 4 of The Chosen, brought in $744,774, which is a 77% decrease.
Boom.
But that's brought in $6.5 million. Again, The Chosen is all crowdfunded. People donate for that. It was one of the few things that during the writer's strike was allowed to continue filming because it was not being done by producers. It was all crowdfunded. So every dollar they made there is profit, $6.5 million in the black, so not bad for them. And then opening at number 9 from Sony, a movie that I have not even heard of, YOLO.
YOLO!
$827,000. What is...
Yeah, this is
a Japanese
this
movie?
This looks like a Japanese film, yeah.
Oh, no, Chinese. After an argument with a younger sister, Lei Ying moves out on her own.
Chinese.
She meets a boxing trainer and starts boxing.
Ah,
how about it?
So it might not mean you only live once. I don't know.
Yeah, foreign film in the top 10. Unfortunately, we did not get it here, so I hadn't seen anything.
It's
about
only in 200 theaters.
And then coming in at number 8, 12 weeks out from Universal
this movie
Pictures.
Just can't
yeah.
fly south. It's just,
Migration. Yeah, in 12 weeks, only dropped 2 spots. From where it was last week, $1 million brought in by that one. Still in 1,500 theaters, $125.3 million in the U.S., $282 million across the globe. Not bad for a movie that when it first came out, everyone's like, well, it's done. And then here it is just holding on. And then just above it at number 7, how is this one still in the top 10 is the question.
I don't
know. Madam Web in its 4 weeks out.
Such a disappointment.
Yeah. $1.1 million brought in by that one. 42.6 total in the U.S. Wow. And then 96.6. I imagine.
It still hasn't made $100 million.
I imagine that Sony was just like, they
paid. Well, Columbia is the one that's putting this out. So I don't know what kind of deals are going on here.
Are Columbia and Sony not in like
I mean, I think
cahoots?
They're everybody's in cahoots now, yeah. But.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure someone paid to keep that around, and it's just not, not having it. And then at number 6, Ordinary Angels, in its 3rd week out, starring old Alan Ritchson, $1.985. So we'll say $2 million brought in by that one this week. $16 million brought in so far.
Yep.
I've seen nothing but good things about that one. It's like based on a true story too. I think it's one of those, but it's like a religious true story type movie. I'm sure that $16 million is not bad for that.
Oh, I'm sure it's great.
And then at number 5, in its 4th week out, dropping from the number 2 spot, Bob Marley, One Love. You gave that one a pretty positive review.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
$4 million brought in by that one, bringing its domestic total up to just under 89.5. Across the globe, it's made 160.5. That's more money than what I expected to see.
Made a lot of money in Jamaica.
Yeah, I'm probably UK, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then at number 4, opening in the number 4 spot, Cabrini. That's another one that...
That's one of those, it's going to have...
Oh, okay, I know
yeah,
that
it's
one.
The
okay, yeah.
Italian immigrant in the slums of New York, yeah.
I remember the trailers for that. It looked...
Sad.
Like drama.
Yeah.
7.16 brought in by that one in its opening week, only in 2,800 theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see where that one goes. And then also opening at the number 3 spot, Imaginary. The one about, yeah.
I think it's going to probably perk up a little bit because it's horror, man.
It's a horror movie. Yeah. It brought in $9.9 million, but it's the one, yeah, a woman returns to her childhood home and her imaginary friend that she left behind was real.
Yeah.
And he's pissed that he got left. So
and it starts manipulating the daughter. Yeah, weird.
And then at the number 2 spot, dropping from number 1, I did not expect to see this. Dune Part 2, $46.2 million brought in by it in its second week out. $157.25 million in the U.S. alone. $370 million across the world. Dune 2 out there making the dollars. Good for it. But it was bested, and I did not expect to see this, by the number 1 movie, which is Kung Fu Panda 4.
Kung Fu Panda 4, man.
Four.
Part four.
With a very Awkwafina heavy trailer.
Yeah.
That's one way to keep me away from a movie, man. $58 million brought in by Kung Fu Panda 4 in the U.S., $82 million globally.
Yep. It's it hasn't been super worldwide yet, so I would expect more coming in the next couple
weeks. Tenacious D released a new song for this movie, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That seems like, you know, they need to stick to Tenacious D stuff, not PG stuff. But, you know, hey, money is money is money is money. So everybody can sell out, even KG and JB.
Yeah. So, well, we'll see how long Kung Fu Panda stays up there. I'm Dune might see the number one spot again next week. You know, if all the families that still care about Kung Fu Panda already went out and watched it. Dune.
And don't want to see the Mark Wahlberg movie. I mean, there's going to be a lot of options coming out. I mean, three new films hitting theaters this weekend. So I think we're going to see I think Migration's going to drop off. I think Madam Web is probably going to take an even deeper hit. So there's going to be a lot more movies. The Chosen obviously won't be in the top 10 next week. And I doubt YOLO will as well. They're just like more things to choose from.
Well, and one thing interesting here about the top 10 is that for the first time in 13 weeks, Wonka is out of the top 10. Oh,
thank God.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Number 11 is right there, but yeah. Good freaking grief. I'm tired of hearing about that. But all right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in. That's our show. Shout outs to everybody on Twitch. Amin just told us to check out a Goat Life trailer. I don't know if We'll check that out over the next week. But find us in our Discord. You can jump in there. And I think maybe our Discord mod, Vince, might be doing a movie night tonight. It's what he likes to do every week. We've got some choices for some movies that he'll stream. And you will do a little watch along. But don't forget to like and subscribe wherever it is you want to view us. You can do it Facebook Live, Twitch, or YouTube Live. We like Twitch, like we said earlier. And don't forget to download this podcast wherever it is you download podcasts. If you don't want to look at our faces and just want to hear our sultry, sexy voices, you can do so at your leisure. So anyway with that said, I'm your host Bo the Boom Operator,
and I'm Rock and Roll Rad Dude the Grip,
and we'll see you guys next week.
As you leave the theater, folks, please be careful. Don't let this happen to your car. Be sure to remove the speaker before you leave. If you should accidentally pull a speaker loose, please turn it in at our snack bar or box office. Thank you.